Walking through the fruit of the Spirit. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. So we're going to start and move into talking about peace this morning. We talked about love 2 weeks ago, joy last week, peace this week. Patience is next week. I'm probably going to give that to somebody else. just kidding. I can tell you what not to do on that one. But we'll suffer through that together. So Galatians 5, if you want to grab your Bible and turn there and talk about peace. And look, before we get into this on peace, I just want to put it on the table and make sure we all are on the same page with this, that these characteristics that the Spirit wants to bear in us are different than what the world speaks of when it speaks of these things. We've been looking at that the last few weeks, but even when we get to peace, this is one I think that we maybe miss, okay? Because in our world, peace means a lack of conflict. And we all seek peace, both, you know, as a whole and in our homes. All of us, we want peace in our home, in our backseat of our car, right? We just want peace. Like, just stop for 4 seconds. Stop fighting with one another. And for us, peace in our lives means a lack of conflict. But really, peace in the Bible is not talking about a lack of conflict, okay? It's something more than that. And what the Spirit wants to bear in us is more deeply satisfying than just a lack of conflict or just a lack of trouble. And as a matter of fact, we're going to read here that the peace that God brings, He brings in the midst of trouble a lot of times, okay? So don't think about the peace that God wants to bear in our hearts, in our lives through the Spirit means that we're not going to have any problems and we're not going to have any conflict. That's not the case at all. It is a deeper and more soul-satisfying peace than that. And Tim Keller's definition of peace, great. He says this, that peace, the Spirit, the kind of peace that the Spirit brings, is a peace that is a confidence and a rest in the wisdom and control of God rather than your own. Now, some of you need to underline that part, okay? It's rest and confidence in the control of God, not in your own control, because you're not really in control of anything, okay? It replaces anxiety and worry. So if you have anxiety and you're worried about your control of things, you see how this kind of builds on each other? You're not in control of it, and so you need to have confidence and rest in the God who's in control of all things and not you. So when you do that, then you don't have anxiety as much and you don't worry as much. So if you have anxiety and worry in your life, if that defines you, then we need to see the Spirit grow peace in us. The fake version, I love the way Keller says this, the fake version of peace is indifference, apathy, and not caring about something. And look, these are good things to think about when we think about what the Spirit wants to grow in us, when we think about peace. Let's read Galatians 5, 16 to 25, and we're going to talk about why we lack peace and then what it is that God wants to do, how He's going to grow peace in us, okay? So not a long sermon today. I owe you a few minutes. I'm going to give a few of them back to you today. So Galatians 5, 16 to 25, Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And the works of the flesh are obvious, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, etc. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do these things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Peace, okay? We love, joy, peace today. What is it that God wants to grow in us in this peace? Because I think all of us, we want peace in our hearts and in our minds and our lives, that when you lay down at night, when you get bad news, when you get good news, when no matter what's going on, what is it that God wants to grow in us? This peace, this confidence that God is who He says He is, this confidence that I can rest in who God is, no matter what comes, I can rest in God and rest in the plans of God, not in my own plans. And so what causes us to lack peace, and then what can we do about growing it? Okay, so two points, and the second one has like four subpoints. So the first one here, why do I lack peace in my life? Here's the answer for why you lack peace in your life and why I lack peace in my life, okay? Sinfulness is why we lack peace in our life, because we're sinners. We don't trust, we don't have confidence in who God is and confidence in what God is going to do because we are sinners. Both individually, we are sinners, and our world is full of sinners. So in our world and in our hearts, we're sinners. And so we have doubted the goodness of God. We have come up with our own ways. We think our ways are better than God's ways. And so, God, I know you've said that this is the way to do things, and when I do things your way, I will find abundant joy and abundant life. But I don't trust you in that, so I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to follow my own path. I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. And then we get into all kinds of issues, okay? And I want to look at Romans chapter 3, which is a really probably an interesting place to go when you talk about peace. But I want you to see when Paul is talking about the sinfulness of the world. In chapter 1 of Romans, he talks about sinfulness of the world. Chapter 2, he talks about the sinfulness of the religious. And then chapter 3, he kind of culminates all this here with this passage in 3:9 through 20. And I want to see what he says here in verse 17. But see the whole thing. He says, what then, are we Jews any better off? Not at all. We've already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of snakes, asps, is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And their paths are ruin and misery. Look what he says in 17. In the way of peace they have not known. So even though our world seeks peace, they don't know the way of peace. Because the way of peace is not through these things. It's not, peace is not found. Real soul-satisfying peace cannot be found in this world. It only can be found in Christ Jesus. There's no fear of God before their eyes, he says. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be shut and the whole world held accountable. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Just focus on verse 17 and see. He says there, the way of peace they have not known because of their sinfulness, because they're not righteous on their own, because they're seeking their own way. They don't know the way of peace. In Isaiah 48, what God says here, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who buys you back, the Holy One of Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. And God laments over the people here. He says, oh, that you would have paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You see that promise that God makes to them? He says, man, I wish you would have done what I said. Because if you would have done what I said, the fruit of that would have been peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul, right? But he says, here's how you get that. Here's how that comes. Here's how that fruit grows in you. I wish you wouldn't have done what you've been doing. I wish you wouldn't have followed your path of sin, because if you would have followed me and kept my commandments and know what I said, peace would have overflowed in you. Peace, my peace would have overflowed in you like a river. But it's not overflowing in you like a river. Here's why it's not overflowing in you like a river. Because you're following your own way. And if you would have followed my way and done what I said and done what your good Father, your great Redeemer had for you, peace would have been like a river in your soul. But it's not like a river in your soul. And the reason why is because you're not following your God who teaches you and leads you in the way you should go. And here's the deal. We read this, okay? I read this. I'm like, man, that is so good. That is so good. God, He profits me. He leads me in the way I should go. And yet, I choose to follow my own way. Like, we know that to be true, yet we still do the same thing that these Israelites were doing. Even though we know that this is true, we're guilty of what they're guilty of in verse 18. We don't pay attention to God's commands. Right? Like we know this, but we don't do it. And because we don't do it, we don't have the peace that God wants to bring to bear in us. See, this isn't... He says, I would have given you peace like a river. Not that they had earned that, but God's just given it to them. Giving them peace. The rising has been like the waves of the sea, but it's not that way because you're not following my commandments. You're living in your sinfulness. And here's why you're doing that, okay? So what the lack of peace is from sinfulness. And the reason why we continue to do that, the reason why we know this, the reason why I go, yep, that's probably true, yet I don't do it. Here's why we don't do it, okay? Because we don't really trust God, which is the next point there. The secret to peace really is trust. It really is trust. Because if I really trusted God's word, if I really believed God to be true, if I really believed His word to be true, really believed it, not some kind of a intellectual belief, but you know, my heart was transformed by it, continuing to be transformed by it, then I would follow Him and I would trust Him. And when I trust Him, He would give peace. Because this kind of peace, again, this is not the kind of peace that I produce or you produce or the world produces or the government produces or the church produces. This is only the kind of peace that the Spirit of God would produce in us. This soul-satisfying confidence that God is in control and I don't have to worry. I can rest in who God is and what God has done. And the secret to that is trust, okay? Not in yourself, not in your plan. Trust in God. Trusting in God and who He is and what He does. I want to read some scripture to you, okay? And see this. Look what God says in Isaiah 26. It says, you keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That God keeps in perfect peace the mind that is on God when we trust in Him. So the response to that, Isaiah says, is trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That God will keep your mind in perfect peace when you trust in Him. You need some peace? Like you're having trouble when you go down at night being restless in your mind and doubting the goodness of God and doubting what's going to go on. He says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. You trust in him because you should trust in him forever because he's an everlasting rock. He's not going to change. John 14, Jesus tells the disciples and towards the end of his life here, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Good line here. Not as the world gives. Do I give it to you? My peace isn't like the world's peace. And you don't get my peace. You don't keep my peace. You don't live in my peace the way the world does peace. Because my peace is different than the world's peace. It's a different kind of peace. It comes a different way. And it accomplishes better things. And because I'm giving you my heart, my peace, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled. Neither let your hearts be afraid. John 16, 33. The end here, very end. Some of the last things Jesus says to his disciples before he goes in the garden and prays and he's going to be crucified. He says this to them. I've said these things to you that you may have what? Peace. And here's how we know that peace isn't the absence of conflict. Because of the very next sentence. In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart. Take heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Okay? As he says it in earlier. Don't be troubled in your heart. In this world, I've said these things to you that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Rest. Don't let your heart be troubled. I have overcome the world. So Jesus ties himself to our peace and his conquering of death, hell, sin, and the grave to peace. I've given you peace. I've overcome the world. So take heart. Be of good cheer. Don't worry. Even in the midst of tribulation, don't worry. Even in the midst of trial. Even when you don't know what's next, don't worry. Have peace. Take heart. Not because of you, not because you've got it figured out, not because you've got enough money in the bank, or your retirement is settled, or you got a lot of equity in your house. Don't take peace in that. Take heart in this. I have overcome the world. This is Christ-centered peace, not man-centered peace. Not you did enough, or you worked hard enough, or you saved enough, or you were disciplined enough. Jesus says, take heart, because something I have done. I have overcome the world. So you trust in me. You trust in me even in the midst of tribulation. 1 Corinthians 14. It's in the middle of... He's actually in the middle of talking about speaking in tongues in church. We're going to get into that today. Maybe one day. But in the midst of this talk about orderly worship, he says this: God is not an author of confusion. God is the author of peace. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. Ephesians 2 says, therefore remember that you at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope. It's a bleak picture. And without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And Christ himself is our, what? Peace. He is our peace. Who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And then Philippians 4, 6 and 7. These are, man, you should memorize these verses today. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I pray this prayer a lot. Not just for myself, but for you and for when I get a text message about somebody's husband is in hospice. I get a text message that somebody's mother has died. Somebody's lost their job or they've lost another baby to miscarriage. Those are heartbreaking things. And my prayer for you is this, that the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, and would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And here's why that's a prayer. Because in our understanding, the immediate thing we would do, when you're at the doctor, and there's not a heartbeat on that screen, the first thing that would come into our minds would be, why? God, why? Why? It's why we need the peace of God to guard our hearts. When you sit in a doctor's office and you hear, there's really nothing else we can do. You need the peace of God to guard your heart. To guard your heart from doubting the goodness and the love and the mercy of God. Because He does love you. He is for you. His peace will flow like a river in you and through you and to you. But we need it to guard our hearts in those moments that the enemy would try to cause us to believe lies about God that aren't true. Okay? So that's why I pray that prayer for you. So I pray that prayer for my own family, that God would guard the peace of God. It is like a river flowing to and through our soul would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God, help us. Guard us. So that even in this moment, okay, because here's what I think God wants to do for us in those moments, okay? He wants those moments that could cause us to doubt God. He wants to use those moments to actually cause us to trust Him more. He goes, okay, I know this is bad, but trust me. Trust me. I'm with you. I'm working here. I have something for you. I know you can't see that. I know you can't feel that. I know you can't understand that. But trust that my ways are higher than your ways. That I have, there's things about my will that are a mystery to you because you can't understand them because you're not me. So I want you to trust me in this. I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. Trust these four things, okay? I want you to trust in who God is, that He is a good Father, Abba, Daddy. We can approach His throne of grace with confidence, know that when we do, we'll find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Okay? All these things we know about God in the Bible, which is why it's important to memorize Scripture, so that when those times come, we can remember who God is and we can trust who God is. That He is great, He is the upholder of all things, and He is good. He has called me to come to Him, and I can find grace and mercy to help in my time of need when I do that. Okay? Trust in who God is. Trust in what God says. Okay? That I am His, been adopted into His family, filled with His Spirit, kept by the power of His Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit until I obtain a possession of this great inheritance. Trust who He is. Trust what He says. Trust what He does. Okay? Trust what He does. He's perfect in all of His ways. His ways are higher than my ways. His ways are, thoughts are higher than my thoughts. We trust in His ways. Even though I don't understand His ways. And look, let me tell you, there's a lot I don't understand about God's ways, okay? There's a lot I don't understand about God's ways. I wouldn't have thought to do that. You know, I've told you this before, but when I read the Bible, that happens. I wouldn't have thought to do it that way, God. You know, I wouldn't have thought to save Noah and his sons and their wives and kill everyone else except for some animals. I would not have thought to bring judgment that way. That was not how I would have thought to done it. Okay? I wouldn't have thought to open up the earth and swallow thousands and thousands of people. I don't know how you came up with that. Right? I don't know. Wouldn't have thought to do that. Achan sins and his whole family gets killed. Okay? I wouldn't have thought that one up. But again, I've told you this before, but also to send His only begotten Son to die for His enemy, that the wrath of God would be poured out on His Son to redeem me and you, I wouldn't have thought of that either, okay? And so I can, even when I don't understand why God does what He does, I can trust in Him. I can trust in what He does because He's perfect in all of His ways. Okay, even when I don't understand them, I don't even understand how the radio works. Okay, so the fact that I don't understand how God and why God does what He does, you know, I don't understand the internet. I don't understand like microwaves. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I understand how any of that works. I'm glad it does, though. Okay, really, I'm glad it does. And so the fact that I don't understand God's ways, or that you don't understand God's ways, should not really come as a surprise to us. Because His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are perfect. Even if I don't understand them, they're perfect. So I can learn to trust in who He is, what He says, what He does, and the last one there is, trust in what He calls me to do. Okay? That's the hard one for most of us. We can maybe go, okay, who God is, and trust that, and what God says, okay, and trust that, yeah. All right, but now, When I do that, then I can trust in what he calls me to do. Okay, well, if it's true of him, then this is what he said of me, and this is what I should do. So I can trust in that. And this is the warning slash call to response at the bottom. In the areas of my life where I lack trust in God, I will also lack peace. Where I don't trust God, I will not experience the peace that the Spirit brings. So, really, you don't have a peace problem. Really, you got a trust problem. Happy 4th of July weekend. never coming back to this church. Right? I don't really have a peace problem. I have a trust problem, because when I trust in the Lord, He gives peace. He wants me to have peace. The Spirit bears fruit of peace in my life. And so where I lack that peace, what I really lack is trust in a God who is in control of these things and is working for my good and working for His glory, even when I don't understand it. And so a great prayer, Lord, help me trust you here. Lord, help me trust you here. I don't know this, but help me trust you here. Because I believe that you are good. I believe that you are all powerful. I believe you love me. So help me trust you so that your peace would flow like a river in me and through me to others. Would you join me as we pray together? So, Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, I do pray for peace. God, I pray your Spirit would bring peace to us. That we would have deep confidence in who you are and what you do. God, where we struggle with that, we ask for your help. God, help heal our unbelief so that we could trust you more, so that your peace would flow like a river. And God, whether sinfulness in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, God, I pray that you would reveal that. Thank you for revealing it. Thank you for showing us this. Because we want to know the way of peace, because we want Spirit to bear this in us. And so, God, I pray you would help us do these things and not live in light of this in the way the world does. So, God, I pray that pray you would bring us to this point and understand this. And God, as we take communion here in just a moment, God, I pray that you would use this as an act to remind us, God, that you have made a way. That peace is not something that's elusive, but it's something that we can experience because of what you have done. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.